Shekhan sent me a link that I'm going to play with here for a few moments, because I'm going to also jump off into the Avatamsaka Sutra at some point. But Shekhan sent me an interesting link, see, about the practice, the preparation, the four essential points for a Navy SEAL to succeed. Did you see that? See, it's fascinating. It's really fascinating. And I think it's particularly relevant for those of you who feel that you have a serious practice. See, this is what's necessary if you are to become successful, if you are to succeed as a Navy SEAL. Now, let's define that. What does it mean to succeed? Survive. It means to be alive after you go on a mission. And that's rather important to you, to succeed. See, the first link is you must prep for battle. See, here we're prepping for battle. You're preparing yourself. You prepare yourself. You prepare, you train. You make the right effort. Preparation for battle. See, and we go through our talks. We take care of this tiny little temple that gives us a place. See, gives us a battleground where the battleground is level, where I have an opportunity, see, to break free from the enemies, from the samsara, see, from Mara, see, all of the convoluted, delusional states that I hold in my head. See, you have to prepare for battle. Then he says, talk yourself up. See, positive feedback. See, you can't think in terms of defeat. You can't reinforce a negative, insecure sense. Talk yourself up. See, pump yourself up. How do we do it here? My mind, it just runs. I give you an affirmation. I release all negative thoughts. Pump yourself up. What do you think the four vows are? You vow to put an end to suffering. You vow to save all sentient beings. You vow to become a Buddha. What is a Buddha? An awakened sentient being. There is no difference. See, use the positive reinforcement. Don't use the negative. The founder of the Tiantai school, that's what he said in the 5th or 6th century. He said, you cannot speak negatively of yourself. Those of you who have taken, see, either Jukai or you have ordained, you have taken the precepts. What is the 10th? See, grave precept. Do not speak ill of the three treasures, even though you may not get it. The three treasures are you. Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, Nirmanakaya. All Sanskrit terms. Oh my God, this is so deep. What is Buddha? This awake state. Don't judge it from your delusional mind. See, enter into the place of not knowing. Not knowing means you're freed from the ruminations of the egocentric mind. This, see, and this is only the surface. This is profound. See, that's Dharma. Buddha. See? Dharma. See? What is the Dharma? All of these things. Don't speak ill of the three treasures. See, the infinite things that inhabit your mandala, your universe. Do you understand? This is your karma. Every person in here, you're intertwined with karmically. There are no coincidences. In the past, whether you're aware of it or not, you have done things that have brought you to this moment. Cannot be any other way to see the interrelatedness of it all, the interconnected of it all, is to begin to appreciate karma. And then to have a profound appreciation, see, for this universe that you inhabit. See, and Nirmanakaya, see, that's the individuals, that's you. Don't speak ill of the three treasures. You are this. It can be no other way. See, Don't speak ill of the three treasures. If you say, I can't do it, that's speaking ill of the three treasures. And it means also that you haven't even understood the most basic teachings of the Buddha. See? I love this one. Embrace the suck. See? Embrace the suck. He said, it's not the biggest biceps or the fastest miler. The suck is when you're hungry, you're cold, you're fatigued, you're shivering in the dark. See, have you ever experienced that? Embrace this. Shit, this sucks, man. This sucks. He said, this you embrace. See, it's at this point, see, when you can win. You can stay there longer and faster and harder than anyone else. This is how you succeed, how you become a success, whether it's in the training ranks of a Navy SEAL or out in a killing field. When there's nobody to come get you and your friends have died and you're starving and you're hungry and you will embrace the suck. I can tell you that this is part of deep, profound practice for those who want liberation. I can relate to this. I relate. What comes to my mind is many, many years ago when I was still a high school wrestler, my coach, we had transformed a little bitty, tiny country town into sort of a machine as far as it produced amazing wrestlers for a couple of years. And my coach wanted to win a tournament. So he looked the field over and decided they had an extremely good man at a higher weight at 138 pounds. And he had looked at the potential and he thought if we could hold that guy from not pinning someone, we had a chance of winning a tournament. See? And so my coach, I was a 127-pound wrestler. It was only a year later that I went to 138, see? I was a 127-pound wrestler, and I was a fair country wrestler. So my coach said to me, he said, in this tournament, they call me Willie. Willie, I'm going to jump you to 138. That's two weights up, and that's a lot of weight to give away. And he said, I think you can hold on. Don't allow this man to pin you. He had the backup wrestler for myself. He felt could beat the man at my weight. We had a very good wrestler at 133. It was down to that close. Embrace the suck. Well, I went into it. The first thing I did, I caught a knee to the nose, broke my nose. I'm down bleeding on the mat. He's bigger than I am. We were going at it. I was still, as we moved into the final period, I was still one point away from being able to stop him, to beat him, not only just keep from being pinned. And he threw me with himself on top, and we landed off the mat on the wood floor, and it cracked my sternum. And it was the weirdest sensation. I'm laying there, blood running down into my stomach, if you've ever had this, and I'm looking up, and there are sparklers in the sky, sparklers. See, and my coach and the assistant coach leans over to me and he looks down and he says, Willie, there's 20 seconds left. Can you go? Can you hold for 20 seconds more? And I have a vivid experience lying there thinking, 20 seconds? Does he realize how long that is? That is an infinite universe, an infinite universe. See? And the only thing, if you've ever been nailed like this, people tell me that all that sparkling was close. I was close to going out, to passing out, see? And I'm laying there looking up at him, and see, I embraced the suck. I said, can you get me up on your feet, on my feet? He said, we can get you on your feet. Can you go out for 20 seconds? Get me on my feet, and I will go for 20 seconds. And while I did, if you've ever had a torn sternum, you've lost the strength in your arms. See, and I can't remember the wrestler's name. I used to remember it, see. And I got up, they put us over there, they wiped me down, they try to get the blood off you as much as they can, see. And he's coming at me, see. And all I did was when he came, I lunged, I hooked into him, and for 20 seconds, I embraced the suck, see. And we won the tournament, see. But it ended my career for the year, see. Embrace the suck. That's what it means when you have expended everything and you're still, fantasies aren't coming there. Zazen. You all have come in to bitch and moan to me. Well, it hurts my mind a little bit. I can't do this, my back. Embrace the suck. See? Go through it. See, in the deep, deep level of Alaya consciousness, you have to root out this egocentric stuff. See? And how many, I can't tell you in this last training period, how many people came in to whine to me about their fatigue. They're tired. They don't like the diet. Embrace the suck. Do you want freedom? Or do you want to spiral down into your delusional state? And finally, here's for Navy SEALs. Take a deep breath. And they practice breathing. See, I was dealing with somebody, I'll tell you, it was Doman. He's out now, I don't know what he's out. He's about, 15 days he's out, 17? How many more days would he come in?
I think he's coming back in a week.
See,
so he's been gone 15 days.
Yeah, he's in the Sierras, alone, backpacking. See, coming down. See, and he's not done this. He was a city kid. And his letters, his emails, he's in a bliss-like state, but he has also seen what's happening to the environment. And when, because I grew up in that kind of an environment, my advice to him was advice that was given to me. See, panic kills. My father flew a small airplane, and on the wall of the airport where he was, and this was just a house, they didn't even have radios in those first airplanes. I always remember this, it said, panic kills. And that's what, in the mountains, what I was trained. See, if you find yourself lost, the first thing that hits you is fear. I was born into that country, and the first time that I was ever lost and realized I was lost, it was actually at night. And let me tell you, even being comfortable alone in the mountains, when I realized I have no idea where the hell I'm in. See, panic, alone. See, then I remembered the voice, don't panic. Sit down and breathe. See? Sit down and breathe. How many of you have been given that instruction? Sit down and breathe. See? That's what I told Doman. Sit down. If you find yourself in any kind, see, of a difficult situation, don't panic. Count your breath until you can settle, because you can always take care of the now. Now, what an amazing thing that this Buddha Dharma, this mind, can be used to train a fighting machine, a Navy SEAL, or a samurai warrior. See, in Karagol's Zen archery, what did he say about the Zen swordsmen? They have been tested 1,000 times in battle and never once come up wanting. But don't think that they can use that sword in an indiscriminate, hostile way. See, you can't if you actually transcend Miyamoto Musashi, who was one of the greatest Japanese swordsmen, who actually chopped down a young kid who was the head of a clan. What did he do when he eventually began the serious practice of Buddha Dharma? The swords went down and he picked up the paintbrush. See, you transcend the realm of samsara. Those who exploit, who cause pain and suffering, are not functioning from the awakened mind. But the awakened mind cannot be perverted, but it can be trapped in delusion, and we sit in various levels of delusion here. Some of us are still capable of absolute cruelty, absolute insensitivity, and we are totally committed to greed. Science, now this Avatamsaka Sutra, see, deals with these amazing numbers. And they'll say, the Buddha looks out upon this infinite universe, see, of deities, of wondrous beings, see, of jewels. Do you believe it? Do you believe the astronomical numbers that they talk about? Do you actually believe it? Do you believe that the Buddha can look out? Do you believe that this is actually true? Well, let's see what modern science has to say about this. See, here are some staggering numbers that scientists won't argue with. A snowflake contains 10 quintillion water molecules. Do you know how big that is? That's 10 million trillion. A snowflake contains molecules, little individual things. Can you imagine that? 10 million trillion. That sounds like the Avatamsaka Sutra. And I'll tell you something else, the scientists can't count that. How long would it take our fastest computer to count that? Long time. An hour or two. See, now, 10 snowflakes. See, they can sit on the tip of your thumb. They have the same... What sits on here? Think of the universe. When Buddha, when you can leave your delusional mind, what does the Buddha look at? Remember, Shariputra asked Buddha about this because Buddha was sitting there. See, and I don't know whether the Sharagama Sutra, see the Lankavatara, I forget which one it was now, see. And the Buddha first starts, he sits, he looks out, and he says, wow, wow, what I'm looking at, this is stunning. Oh, not your crappy little fantasy. Clear the head out, look out into this reality. And Shariputra says, he looks around, and he says, well, hell, I see Shindai there. I see Moosh there. See, I see a funky little bitty Zendo. What the hell are you talking about? Wonder. Wonder. Why can't I see what you see, Buddha? And Buddha said it simply, because you cannot enter into the Buddha's samadhi. See, until you can actually enter into this state of non-distracted awareness, don't judge, because you're in a delusional state, see, trying to judge the enlightened state when you can't even make an accurate judgment as to my intention. See, and yet you think your little bitty fantasy world is what this is about. 10 snowflakes fitting on the tip of your thumb have the same number of molecules as there are grains of sand on the earth. See, those are staggering numbers. This can go right down next to the Avatamsaka Sutra. See, or stars in the visible universe using our most powerful telescopes. Do you realize what's here? Do you realize what you are? Do you see what a pathetic, little, miserable, worm-like thing you are? And you think that your intellect is so great? Your intellect is what has produced the crazy world of war, of exploitations, insensitivity. It is only if you choose here now to evolve, as Tom Campbell says, to evolve your consciousness. To evolve your consciousness from this miserable little worm-like existence. By the way, my teacher made that comment. I didn't say that about you. He did. See, to evolve into a Buddha, an awakened being. You exaggerate, Nogen. No, the Shakyamuni Buddha said, a Buddha is a sentient being, no difference, a sentient being who never leaves samadhi. Is that amazing? That's all it is. Buddha said, we're trapped in upside down thinking. Now, if you think about the snowflakes on the tip of your thumb, when you look out at a snowy field, a vista filled with snow. What kind of numbers? See, staggering. This is what you are. Where do you think that field of snow exists? Where does this moment exist You are the I in the center of it. If it comes from the egocentric self, see, you won't grasp this. You'll still think that having a house in Malibu, see, being a star or being mega rich, and then if you're terribly sensitive to the world around you, see, like Robin Williams, you commit suicide. In depression, severe depression. This is what we overcome with the practice of Buddha Dharma. When Buddha jumped the wall of his delusional state of eternal youth with eternally beautiful people around him, he jumped over the wall of the palace. See, that's your ignorance. Then you look around at the world and Buddha got seriously depressed. See, because he saw the best you can hope for. You know what the best you can hope for in your life? Old age, sickness, and death. That's the best you can look for. That's if you're a winner. If you're not a winner, you get killed in an accident, or they blow you up in a war. Worse even, maybe they blow your arms and legs off and burn the flesh off your skull, because we have doctors who can now keep you alive. And you people are mainly concerned with getting the newest iPhone, see, and making sure that you are comfortable. See, when you take the vow to save all suffering sentient beings, how do you do it? By cultivating this now. All of that stuff that I've talked about, it comes right back to here. Are you awake? Now see, in the Avatamsaka Sutra, and it's not known who wrote this, probably Indian scholars, probably we can pull together about the second century, see. And he said most of this, the discourses, it's not historical. See, and none of them are. It's simply a statement, see, of the teachings, see, of an awakened being, the Shakyamuni Buddha here. But this Buddha also now, in this particular sutra, it comes in different forms. See, he's sometimes the cosmic principle. He's sometimes Buddha in the line of Buddhas of the past. Next, he represents the enlightening self, or the scope of enlightenment, or hearing being. See, always, it is only you. And all of the players on this great stage are only you. See, there is nothing that happens outside of you. If you wake up here, see, but it has to be totally empty. You can't carry anything forward. Whatever you carry forward, you will plant the seeds of delusion. And so long as your way is being met, you can be a wonderful, magnanimous person. The moment it isn't, you turn into a demon. The thing that I picked up was the 10 concentrations, because I was wanting to look, see, at what does this tell us and how does it relate to our practice. And it says, at that time, the world-honored one was at the site of enlightenment in the forest in the country of Magadha. Having just attained perfect enlightenment, he was at the site of enlightenment. Where is that site of enlightenment? If you follow the egocentric mind, if you're looking at this as a document that was written in the second century in another culture, see, you're in the delusional realm. Where is the site of enlightenment? See, right where you sit. Now, if you reduce it to an understanding, you're in delusion. See? Having just attained perfect enlightenment, having attained, had cut the root of his discriminating consciousness, his egocentric mind, he was now in the effortless state of samadhi, of being. The effortless state of being. There is no expectation of something to be or come beyond this. See, and if you're in your delusional mind trying to judge what this is, I'm not sure that you can even see with the limited view that I'm saying, see this. And they all say it, see this. See, and everybody can look out and you can see this from that delusional dualistic perspective. And from that perspective, you are still trapped in greed and anger. Hence, I give you the world around you. But but I pull you back to here. In the Hall of Universal Light, he entered the Buddha's concentration. In the Hall of Universal Light, isn't this an amazing hallway? See, this little hazy moon. See, he entered the Buddha's concentration. See, again, this concentration, samadhi. This is the Hall of Universal Light. Can't you see this? See? He entered, the concentration of the Buddhas on the absolute instant. Is there another instant? Is there another instant? You can't even prove that the beginning of my talk even existed. Do you know the only thing you can prove? Is that you're here now. And here now, if you're quiet, you have a choice. See, this is the amazing thing that the Shakyamuni Buddha discovered. You have a choice. You can begin to wake up. See, you're not following my agenda. I have no agenda. See, and you're not following Buddhism as a religion. It isn't a religion. The great Abaku said, Wang Po, said, we have no doctrine to give you. We have no dogma to give you. What we give you is a round cushion and a white wall to look at. And then we say, work it out for yourself. Koan practice. I'm going through the adventures of koan practice. Let me tell you what one of the greatest of the Zen masters, of the koan master, said. What is koan practice? He said, we put you in a room with no windows and no doors, and then we tell you, get out. How wonderful. And by the inherent spiritual power of universal knowledge manifested the body of a realized Buddha, pure and untrammeled, not relying on anything, with no clinging to objects, abiding in the ultimate tranquility of cessation. What's that? I put down the ruminating mind. I put down the picking and choosing mind. That's all he's telling you here. See, and in the amazing tranquility, bliss-like state, the great Hongzhe said, if you can do this, anyone here can do it if you're willing to embrace the suck. See, endowed with great power, in this enlightened state, without any attachments. No attachments. There's the great teaching of the Buddha. Buddhism is the study of the self. That's Buddhism. It isn't some kind of a crazy religion that's going to tell you to go out and kill those that aren't chosen. Because we are chosen. The moment somebody tells you they're chosen, run like hell. Because pretty soon they're going to want to wipe you out. The study of Buddhism is the study of the self. What does the study of the self mean? To forget the self. Without any attachments, able to cause all beholders to gain awakening, appearing as appropriate in accord with the time, always abiding in one form, which is no form. That's the here now. And in this state of the here now, this is where you can do good. Some of the new people won't know. But I have talked a number of times of taking my teacher into a psychiatric ward and to watching the magic when he stepped into that ward and did nothing but enter deep samadhi. Was an amazing demonstration of the power of practice. And it's a true story that I experienced with myself, and there was another witness to it. If you only know what you're casually throwing away, throwing into the dirt. He was with as many enlightening beings, here it is, he was with, who? You. You are with as many enlightening beings as atoms in the 10 Buddha lands. Well, we just had the scientists talk about that. Infinite. Do you understand what we are? The fact that you are conscious of the fact that you're conscious. And the best of our physicists will tell you, see, that no energy can be created and none can end. You are eternal. See, you can transcend the realm of birth and death. Birth and death. This is the life of the Buddha. Rising and falling, rising and falling. See, this, if you want, using the metaphor of the ocean, the waves rise up, they settle down, they rise up, they settle down, and if you're very, very wise, you'll learn how to be a surfer on these waves in great joy, and as the great Hongzhe said, you frolic in a samadhi of bliss, and then the wave settles. Has anything been lost? The great ocean has simply moved. This Buddha mind functions just like this. And surfers lay off, practitioners lay off, see, on their boards, watching the horizon, see, practicing, looking for the perfect wave. See, you should be experiencing the great joy. Tom Campbell, the physicist, that's what he said. I don't mean to make it sound like this should be difficult or painful. It should be joyful. As you embrace the suck. This is what he said. The difficult part, embrace it. Use it as a motivation that this difficulty will push me through. On one occasion, I had ruptured the tendons in my hips sitting. I pushed myself, really pushed myself. I was in pain and agony. I went into Roshi, see, and I asked him, and he said, Nyogen, take on the pain and suffering of all beings. Pull all of the pain and the suffering out of all of the suffering sentient beings. Take it on for yourself. Will you do that to eliminate the pain and suffering of sentient beings? And you know, I was willing to go for that. I was willing, see, to embrace the suck. I didn't even save myself, but that's another story.